Technically speaking.
Welcome to our Technically Untechnical Technology Talk.
A Nywik Atlantic production.
And an award-winning podcast with your hosts, Chelsea Holloway and Alex Jackson.
Hey, Alex, how's it going? How you been?
Doing pretty good. How are you, Chelsea?
Oh, I'm doing good. So I've already failed in one of my 2025 predictions. The Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. So spoiler alert, if anyone has not seen the Super Bowl, but the Chiefs lost. Yeah. Oh, well, good for the Eagles, right, Alex? For the Eagles. I really didn't care either way. Neither one of them are my team.
Same here. I didn't have a team in the fight, but I'm glad the Eagles won and look forward to seeing what they do next season.
Yeah, that game was not very good, though. They won by a lot, so... Anyway, hopefully next year's Super Bowl is a bit more thrilling.
Absolutely. I didn't win my prediction either of having more snow here in Charleston, so we're both in the same boat on that.
Don't give up on that, though, Alex. There is still time.
We do still have 6 more weeks of winter, according to the groundhog, so there's still a chance for us to get some more snow.
So it saw its shadow?
Yes, the groundhog did see its shadow, which means 6 more weeks of winter.
Well, we'll see what happens when it comes to football and the weather, but for this episode, we are going to focus on something a little bit different. We're going to step outside the box a little bit from the technology that we normally talk about, and we are going to be talking about how we foster a productive environment here at Nywik Atlantic through our culture and our command climate, which both directly influence our ability to create technology for the warfighter anyway.
Coming up, we've got Nywik Atlantic Commanding Officer Captain Matthew O'Neill and Nywik Atlantic's Executive Coach Dr. Scott Dreyer chatting with us about our organization's goal to preparedness and collaboration. Then for our military moment, we have ET1 Jonathan Shelton talking about his work as an electronics technician. So get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
Please note, since this episode was recorded, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Lisa Franchetti, who is mentioned in this discussion, has transitioned away from her position. At the time of publication, key priorities mentioned in this episode are in locked alignment with those of Department of Defense, the U.S. Navy, and Naval Information Warfare Systems Command.
We are going to jump right into our chat with Captain O'Neill and Mr. Dreyer, who are giving us the scoop on how our organization balances a collaborative culture and mission mindset. They also discuss how that influences the technology we create. Let's take a listen. Hello, welcome to our podcast. Can you both please introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Captain Matt O'Neill, Commanding Officer, Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic.
And Scott Dreyer, Executive Coach, Human Capital Strategy Lead.
Awesome, thank you both. So we are going to be discussing culture today on this podcast. And before we get into it, can you please explain what we mean by that? What are we going to be talking about?
Yes, Chelsea. So I'll take that one. I went and looked up the Chief of Naval Operations Culture of Excellence Initiative. It's very simply what people do and how they do it. It's the beliefs, values, those norms of behaviors, those routines and traditions that we encourage and that occur throughout an organization.
So how do you think the geographic separation of teams like ours affects the mission and sense of connection within the organization?
Yeah, so I didn't warn y'all I was gonna do this. I'm gonna hijack your question for a second because you mentioned mission. I always like to give a little bit of context when, before I go into talking about stuff. So if you bear with me for just a second, right? I want to remind all of us, right, that this is a time of significant global competition. This year, the last couple of years has been the Navy has been involved in its highest degree of combat at sea since World War II. The Chief of Naval Operations has set a North Star for the Navy for us to be ready by 2027. Her goal is for the Navy to be more ready to participate in sustained combat as part of a joint and combined force, right? And this is all based off of the very public announcement of the People's Republic of China to be ready to take Taiwan by military force in 2027.
I mean, just from my perspective, since being here, that the geographic separation has been a challenge. It's been a concerted effort by Nywik Atlantic to bring the geographically dispersed entities together via various mechanisms. I think we'll talk about that later, but it absolutely has posed a challenge to us over the years, one that you know, we have work to overcome, and we've got still lots of work to continue in that realm.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me put you on the spot.
No problem.
Let's circle back to the mission, right? So what is motivating you to explore the different ways that we can create a more cohesive and connected workforce, and how that impacts how we support the warfighter?
I think every day, how can here at NIWC Atlantic, how can we think, act, and operate differently? More importantly, how must we conduct ourselves differently as we posture to put ourselves on this wartime footing? This translates to an increased focus on our survivable, high reliability capabilities, doing things like being as responsive as we can in order to minimize those impacts of equipment casualties, and most important, doing all that we can. Continuing doing all that we can, because we do a very good job of it here at NIWC Atlantic, is unlocking innovation. That's through partnerships. That's through working together internally, leveraging our differences and our competencies with our departments being more mission-oriented and our competency leadership being more oriented toward the people and processes.
I would agree. I think our mission is what's really connecting us as a workforce so that we do support that warfighter. So I think it all comes full circle. Like, we support the mission and we create different ways to be innovative and to be connected as a workforce. And really, on the other end, that mission is connecting us to make sure that we're there for the warfighter.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that workforce mission in mind, how does the technology that we work on and the engineers that are working on that technology, how does that focus our impacts in the way we approach team building?
Yeah, I've been hogging the mic. Scott, did you want to?
No, keep going. I'll jump in as needed. I like where you're taking it. Go ahead.
Awesome. Oh, thank you, sir.
Sure.
What underpins everything for me as a computer scientist and as a de facto systems engineer, I don't have a systems engineering degree, but I've been trained well by other really good engineers. but it's just... is that systems engineering thinking, right? So a very rigorous approach to everything we do. And again, being an engineering command, my thinking is that everything that we do, from designing and installing, developing, supporting, and sustaining systems, even to doing the paperwork involved in that, and writing performance evaluations, this rigorous, design-related, starting with the end in mind kind of approach underpins everything.
So what strategies have you guys found to be most effective in building connections between teams and individuals?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is our technology shift over the past few years really created a difference for the organization, specifically our Flank Speed Microsoft 365 Office Suite. Brought our teams together at a level I have not seen since being here. Able to work across geographically dispersed locations to a level that folks felt more community than ever before, because their teams were plugged in on SharePoint sites, through OneDrive, through the Teams itself, whether that be on video or the chat mechanism. And so I think that, small adjustment to a new platform of communication has really enabled connection and kind of collaboration across. So
it's expanded our storytelling capabilities, okay, in public affairs, because we are able to have people on as guests for the podcast from other geographic locations through technology, as well as we're able to get more photos, like self-taken photos that are more easily sent. And there just has been a really good connection through those digital landscapes that we've developed in storytelling as well for public affairs. I've noticed that.
Yeah. And at this moment, we're working across,
yeah,
for this podcast, a geographically dispersed location to create
exactly.
It, which is an in-time example of what's happening.
For context, what he means is I'm currently in the Washington, D.C. area, while everyone else is in Charleston. And we're able to do that every month on this podcast through the different technologies that we have within the command.
Yes. And I'm not even aware of, you know, we're talking about our suite of tools that I'm familiar with. I don't even know what exists deeper in the engineering communities and the platforms and the systems that they use to collaborate.
Yes, exactly.
So it goes beyond just what we're speaking to right now.
And it shows that we are able to help create that workflow from production to actual application out in the field. And so it's amazing how the technology has helped us in a variety of ways serving our warfighter.
The only other thing I would say that we've done actively, I think we need some more work to do, is we have followed a little bit of General Stanley McChrystal's book, Team of Teams. So he brought the different military branches together to fight Iraq war and wars in Afghanistan in order to be more collaborative and cohesive as a joint force. And our organization has adopted some of those principles. One of the important principles that I think we're doing, but we can even get better at, is something called the leveraging and using boundary spanners. And boundary spanners are those individuals in an organization that are naturally good at networking, communicating, and collaborating. And they go across teams, so they don't stay siloed in their own units just working. They learn from other teams, they share information with other teams, so it becomes an exponential force instead of just within their particular area or the like. So we are trying to identify and mold and build and encourage more boundary spanners on a regular basis. So if there's anyone out there that's listening and you happen to be a boundary spanner, I want you to reach out to us, because we want to get you plugged in and working across teams, because we are large and we are dispersed and we're doing different work. And so it's very difficult at times to get that collaboration and knowledge sharing. So
how do we measure the success of your efforts to create a more connected workforce, and what metrics or indicators do you use to track that progress?
So I looked at our command strategy. In that strategy, there are some kind of objective measures. We have a requirement to do an annual survey of the workforce, more than one annual survey. And, you know, when I checked on board, I got kind of introduced to how the team was tracking the outputs of these surveys and kind of doing the follow through, right? Because what's the value of a survey if you're not following up and going and doing some follow on activities with the workforce? Instead of just tracking our efforts kind of to completion until we do the next survey the following year, you know, Dr. Dreyer and the team had launched a plan to do some interim kind of check-ins with the workforce to sense how we're doing along the way, so that we could make adjustments in our plan and in our ways we're engaging with the workforce. And so that's one very long-winded example of an outcome metric.
Yeah, I would say, I would just briefly, our Get Real, Get Better efforts, which I'm going to use the acronym GRGB going forward, if we speak to it, has gotten us tighter with metrics and outcome-driven measures. And that has enabled us to track to things like comparing NIWC Atlantic scores to global benchmarks, or, you know, top 5-10% of government entities. And so we are now working at a level that's much more clear, much more identified in terms of what specifically we're trying to pursue and achieve, which is a great leap. We were doing that before. We just weren't doing it at the level that we are now.
Have we seen an increase in morale within the workforce as a result of our GRGB efforts?
I think from what I've seen regarding report outs, we have been creating success along the way. And I think recognizing that as an employer, as a team, that I've been doing this and now I'm just getting a little bit better at it. It folks feel empowered and kind of emboldened that they're on the right path. We want to bring that for everyone.
So how are we balancing this need for a connected workforce with the demands of supporting military operations that may require, you know, secrecy, speed, and adaptability?
You know, following a disciplined approach for me is what makes us able to balance very well, right? And again, I'll go back to, you know, sort of step one of the discipline OODA loop is keep the mission at the forefront, right? For me as an engineer, step two is have a process or some clear method that you can follow so that whatever you do is repeatable, right? Because being good, like you do something once, but being great is doing something over and over again and performing predictably at it and doing very well. There is a very, very strong focus on staying in sync with your customer, or in our case, the warfighter, or with whoever's going to end up with the end product that you are developing. The agile mindset is a wonderful example of having a very pithy, disciplined approach to managing your work.
What are some innovative information warfare solutions that have improved as a direct result of the fostered purpose within our NAWIC Atlantic organization?
The one example is several of our NAWIC Atlantic teammates won the Dr. Etter Award, I believe it was in 2024, for innovation because of the rollout of the Flank Speed Enterprise and the Nautilus Virtual Desktop and this compendium of technologies that has really increased the productivity and increased the mobility, the agility of the workforce throughout the Navy.
It's amazing what we can do. I'm always impressed with NAWIC Atlantic when I hear about these innovations such as just NVD, right? I love using the virtual desktop. So this is a capability that we have here within our organization that allows us as government employees to work in what looks like a government environment, a very secured government environment on a personal device, which is something as a government employee I love. I love that because it makes it so easy to go back and forth as a public affairs professional when I need to be off network to update our social medias and do all of that. And I can still be in a secure place through NVD and do what I need to do and then efficiently switch to a off network type of environment.
That's a tremendous advancement. It really is that we did not have that capability before. It changes our capacity to work, to deliver, to connect across, you know, all of our teams.
And it's a cost savings for the command, right?
Right, absolutely.
Many commands throughout the Navy and for that acquisition program. And I don't remember if I said, right, but that Dolores Etter Award is a DOD level award, right? So the Navy got out front of all the services for earning that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we've learned so much from you both about the culture here at NAWIC Atlantic and how it's affecting our technology as well as where we're taking it in the future to continue to innovate and grow. So I truly appreciate you guys coming on and delivering this insight to the audience. So thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. I was jazzed to be here. Thank you all for having us and for your very insightful questions.
Great questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Alex, our command is in a unique position where we have a majority civilian workforce, and they're working alongside and supporting the warfighter through various technologies. So we need to prioritize the mission and lethality, but we also need to foster this cohesive culture that values civilian work-life balance. And from what we just heard, it's no easy task, and I'm glad it's a priority for our leadership to continue to balance both of those needs.
It's a strength for us to have that blend too, that collaboration between civilian and military, which brings us to our military moment, where I sat down with Petty Officer Shelton to chat about his work within communications and information technology. Thank you for joining us today. Can you please tell us your name and what you do for NAWIC Atlantic?
I am ET1 Jonathan Shelton. I support NAWIC's FSBS transmitter program.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the FSB transmitter program is?
They are a program that operates very low frequency and low frequency transmitters to support submarine communications.
And how long have you been in the Navy?
I joined the Navy back in April of 2013 as a CELRES. I've had one deployment under my belt, and I've been in since.
What is the CELRES?
CELRES means Select Reserves. So Select Reserves are sailors who come in 2 days a month, 2 weeks a year minimum, and we get activated to support active duty personnel in various locations with various different skill sets. We are trained to do one thing, but our civilian skill set may be something else, and they sometimes complement each other. Sometimes they're just totally different, which makes every CELRES a unique person.
That's really interesting. How have you been able to provide your expertise to what you do here at NIWC Atlantic?
I am very flexible because of my skill sets. So when I was brought on, I was told, hey, you're going to start off as being a technician. And then when I officially started, like, actually, you're not being a technician. You're going to be coordinating a lot of different moving parts. So that's what I'm doing. Because of my flexibility, I was able to adjust accordingly.
Very nice. What are some of the duty stations or tours that you've gone on that you really enjoyed?
My first command and my current reserve command are the two that I've enjoyed the most. My first one was Naval Expeditionary Logistics Regiment 4. We were split between Charleston and Jacksonville, Florida out of Blount Island. And then NAVWAR's Information Warfare Southeast Command. That's my current reserve unit. I've been enjoying both my time in both of those commands so far.
Can you give some advice to someone who is new to the Navy?
Take a look at what the ratings are that you want to go for and pursue it. But however, keep in mind, be flexible, because what you may want to do may not end up being what you do, but you might end up doing it later on. For example, as an ET, I do communications work, but I've also done information IT as well as cybersecurity.
Meant to ask you earlier, what does ET stand for?
ET stands for electronics technician. We are trained on how to maintain and operate communication systems such as radios and radar, different types of radars, computer systems, and navigation systems.
Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today, and thank you for all the work you do for the United States Navy.
You're welcome.
Sounds like that was a good chat, Alex. And I liked how he mentioned flexibility was important to him because he was able to use his skill set across multiple areas. Like he mentioned, he has worked in communications on submarines and he has had a hand in cybersecurity as well, which was kind of cool.
Yes, that cybersecurity work is a big thing at NIWC Atlantic, and it's really good he has that skill set.
We are starting to come to a close for this episode, but before we go, Alex, do you have any big plans for the next couple of weeks? Because I've got some big plans to share.
I don't have any really big plans at the moment, but I think this year is going by fast. What do you have coming up?
I'm going on vacation, so I'm excited. Taking the family. We're going to Florida. We're going to go on a little cruise. And I have mixed feelings about cruises, but it's going to be fun. And we might swim with stingrays. So my toddler, my three-year-old, is going to really enjoy that, to like feed those stingrays.
That's really exciting. I know you all will enjoy. I was down in Florida back in December and had a great time and soaking up the sun. So have fun down there.
Thanks, Alex. I'll be sure to tell you all about it in the next episode. So as always, to learn more about anything we've mentioned in the podcast, check out our social medias under NAVWAR or our NIWC Atlantic website. Links are in the description.
And this wraps up another episode. Thank you for listening. If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.